And we're back with a second episode this week. This one, Nick and I are recapping his trip to New Glarus and the great taste of the Midwest. I wasn't able to go, but I had lots of questions, and I wanted to hear the stories and all the amazing gear that you can get up in Madison, Wisconsin for the great taste of the Midwest.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we had too much to talk about.
We were getting after it, man. It's probably one of the busiest weeks we've had in recent memory.
Yeah, so you probably got a double dose of episodes this week, which is perfect because we did a collaboration beer. So double, and it was a double dry hopped beer. So it's double back-to-back episodes for you. So if you missed
Body Moving,
the previous episode, go back and listen to that because we are mainly talking about Great Taste of Midwest and New Glarus on this episode.
Yeah, for sure. It probably deserves its own ep, man. It's the we talk about it all the time. It's the second longest running beer fest in America, right? Right after Great American Beer Fest. Mm-hmm. It's a Great Taste in the Midwest. Same old spot every year, man, for like 33 years, man.
Yeah, right on the lake there.
Yeah. You know, they say Otis Redding died on that lake. He had a plane crash there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like whatever you call the name of Madison, Wisconsin, the capital of Wisconsin. Oh, and then like there's two lakes, and then there's like whatever you call that. And there's a body of water on both sides, and then there's land in the middle. It's one of those things. Olin Park.
Yeah. You know,
beautiful scene, man. I think it's the best party. It's the best party that I go to.
It's pretty nice. Yeah.
It's a sweet party. Yeah. So.
But you rolled up there after Friday night flights.
Right on.
Because you had to get up there early for New Glarus.
Yeah, man. So every year as part of the pilgrimage, New Glarus says, hey, we're going to do a release that weekend. They do one Friday. They do one Saturday. Yeah. And to my surprise, man, they were both there Saturday morning, like 10 a.m. First of all, New Glarus says they open at 10 a.m., but you get there, and this shit is on and cracking at like 9:45. Okay. So they had to open at 9, right? Because everything, like wristbands, people in line, everything's rolling.
What time did you get there?
I got there at 9:45.
Okay.
I'm like, I thought it opened at 10.
Yeah. And they're like late. They're like, we're done.
Yeah, so then I'm hanging out in line, and I'm like, all right, cool. You probably don't have – there were two this year. One was a blackberry sour ale, and then another one was a vintage from 2018, which was a sour blonde ale. That's what we're drinking tonight.
Oh, okay. So did you not think they'd have the vintage? Or
correct. I was like, well, just give me the blackberry. They're like, do you want one of each? I'm like, well, if there are both, I will have both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have the vintage – blonde ale.
Vintage blonde from 2018.
Okay.
Now, the blackberry they had on draft, right? And then the blackberry they were pouring at Great Taste the next day. Mm. They were not pouring this at the brewery that day.
So have you had this yet?
I have not had this one.
Well,
so I'm like, man, this is the one I'm bringing on the show.
So let's do it. Tell me about it.
Let's get after it, man. 2018 vintage, R&D release every year. I love the bottle, man, because it's kind of like the, like a taller version of the Red Stripe bottle.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like a medicine label to snake oil kind of thing.
This is all about, cool shit fermentation and then oak tanks and aged hops, man. They're just trying to be like as traditional as possible, right? Man. And this was bottled in 2017, brewed in 2016, and it was released in 2018.
And now it's 2019.
And now it's 2019. So they're like, hey.
Spanning 4 years.
For those of you who missed it,
here you go. Here you go. That's cool.
Yeah. Dude.
So let's give it a pour, give it a try.
I will say something about these. This kind of pours just like champagne, right?
Right. Look at that. You can hear it.
Yeah, that's gorgeous, man. I will say something about New Glarus, man. Like super smooth releases at these things. Right, you roll in, you roll out, right? You roll in, you roll out, and then you fucking, you put your beer in your car, and then you go back and you try all the things, right?
This beer just funkified this room.
Yeah, my head, yeah, it did. Big in your face, my head just came and went, too, like, on this thing.
After it sparkled away, like, that was a science experiment kind of thing. 6.1%.
Right on.
The bubbles went up my nose. Like the gas went up my nose.
Carbonation.
Okay, carbonation. No. That's the word.
Yeah. So at the brewery, right, we the blackberry ale had like these Oregon Marion blackberries in them, right? And I was like, and they give you like, so they got some of the strongest glassware in the entire game, right? These guys, right? These really gorgeous glasses. So they give you a full on pour of this blackberry ale, mm-hmm. right? So we ordered one strawberry rhubarb, one blackberry ale.
Okay.
And I'm like, the strawberry, this blackberry ale is so big and so blackberry and so tart that I think halfway through it, I was like, man, why don't I see what it tastes like with the
little blend?
With the little blend. With okay. The little strawberry rhubarb. And that was the money spot for me. Like, I think that blackberry ale is going to be great in like a year or two.
Okay. And is that the picture on Insta?
That's the picture on Insta in the ruins.
Okay.
So I don't know if they have a tasting room per se.
No, they just have cliffs. Like,
they got this courtyard. They got this courtyard with this, like, they got like the console from like an old German like warship or something, and that's your rinsing station. But then they just have these little four tap pouring stations all around this courtyard.
Yeah.
And one of the pouring stations is called the Ruins because it's on a cliff, and they got all this like really old, like, I don't know, church or castle like remnants, right? That sit over this massive cliff overlooking downtown New Glarus.
Yeah, it feels like, what is this? Should I be walking on this? And then you're like,
am I gonna bust my ass walking down this path?
And then you're like, is this really a thing, or was this put here for like Disney, the beer Disneyland that is New Glarus?
It's all very bizarre, and then it kind of feels like, you know, what am I trying to say? It definitely feels like a vineyard when you roll into it.
Yeah.
You roll in off the main strip. There's these massive hop yard. There's literally these rolling hills that take you to the
brewery. Yeah, you're around the corner. You're going up a circle drive, basically.
And you're in the middle of, you know, Wisconsin farmland. So it's got elements of like a really gigantic farm. But then when you're in the courtyard, it kind of feels like it's two parts church, one part farm, vineyard. It's a church farm vineyard on a cliff.
Had you ever gone to the previous brewery?
I don't think so.
It looks like a shithole compared to this place.
Oh, man.
It's basically like somebody, like, so it's like, what was that show, the Hillbillies? The people that like got oil.
Oh,
the
Beverly Hillbillies?
It's like that. Like they struck oil. They struck oil.
Black gold.
And now they have a castle.
Texas tea.
They were brewing in a shack. And now they have a castle.
They for sure have a castle now, man. Yeah, it's a strange ride, man. You know, we interviewed Goose Island and the brewmaster, Jerry Jankowski. He came from New Glarus. So Moon Man, the pale ale, is named after his cat. So that's one of the staples, I remember.
And he's at Polsky or Polsky?
No, he went to Octopi.
Octopi.
Which is back in Wisconsin. You know, he's like, hey, this is cool, but, you know, I like Wisconsin. I'm out of here.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Thanks. All right. That's just leading up to.
That's always the prelude to, because these are about 40 minutes apart.
Okay.
New Glarus, and then you keep going, and then boom, you're in Madison, state capital. Great taste in the Midwest.
All right.
What are we talking about here, man? We're talking like, you know, 160 plus breweries, 163 breweries. You have to be within like 250 miles of Madison, I believe, to even qualify.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's a good time.
Brickstone's out.
No. Brickstone's not invited. No, Brickstone was one of the rookies this year.
Nice.
Brickstone made their debut, which is kind of funny. Shout out to Dave Gibbons. He's the brewmaster over at Temperance.
Okay.
So I ran into him.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
He listened to the pod.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was like, that's dope. I haven't seen him in a while, man. Those old Juan Kim events where the homebrewers got together and were competing. I met him there, and his crew at the time was called Inebriated. And I think ever since Claudia left to go to Pipeworks, I think Dave's been running. He's been holding it down as a head brewer over there.
Hopefully he didn't listen to that sketchbook episode where they
Sean
Dagger said they temperance.
He's like, temperance is the name of that brewery, but we are actually, you know, we embody what went down in the temperance movement. We had this speakeasy operation, you know, we embodied it. Yeah. So shout out to him, man. Good to the Goose crew. Mm-hmm. And you know, they had a whole like little quasi Chicago corner. There's three floors was there. We know that's Munster.
But so
everybody was there. Yeah.
Speaking of Goose, the great taste for years, and I think this has gone away. There was like end cap breweries that had like epic displays. Like, I don't know. I feel like Goose Island did like mini golf, or like they had like crazy games and themes and went all out.
It's true, man. I remember one of my favorite ones was like Bell's did like a Vegas theme. I still have it. I gave my kids the shades. They're so cool. Like these Vegas style shades from them. The reason I fell for Kunin, they're from Michigan, was that they had like a Ming Dynasty theme one year, you know. And Goose, they had a theme one year of the Blues Brothers. So they had the full-on like chicken wire fence, and everybody was dressed in the like black and white suits.
Right.
You know, like, I think.
But these were like bigger, almost like bigger paid sponsors.
Right. Thing. So, you know, it's on the Rolling Hills. It's on the Rolling Hills, and the lake is at the bottom. And in between are all these really long, long booths. Mm-hmm. And at the end cap of every booth is a theme.
Yeah.
Right. That's part of the Midwest.
I think Rev, when I was there, they had a skate park.
Yeah, Rev had a skate park. I think this year it was more like a lounge, like a beach lounge.
So there's still some of that or not?
There's still some of that. It's not as prevalent or not as memorable, I would say.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of folks, like I went to Summit from Minneapolis, and Summit was just the end cap. It's like, hey, we're Summit, we're at the end, right?
That sounds like we don't care.
Right. I think
you've seen our beer around.
Who got really into it was like Surly. I think you could like, you know, dunk your friends in like a water, that kind of thing. Surly was into it. There were a couple of breweries that were into it. I think Shorts, they had like some kind of like really Olympic style.
So it's still so it's still a little bit of a thing, but it's not
still
as
a big part of it.
It's not as grandiose.
It's not like all in where everybody every end cap's doing something cool. It wasn't really like that.
Okay. Well, yeah. But I think that's good. I think it was getting a little out of hand, right? Like there was starting to be lines of people waiting for things that weren't beer.
Yeah, and then there's timed releases too. I know that there was a coconut Surly Darkness. It's a coconut rum barrel Surly Darkness I wanted to try. And you can't just roll up and get that. That's like, you know, that's at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
Know, that kind of thing. VSOJ, same thing. You know, Lodestar and all those things from Floyd's. These are all timed releases.
Yeah.
Off Color brought 21 beers to this thing. So the first thing I had was like Far, Far and Away. You know, it was one of their, you know, one of their Wild Ales. Yeah. But I mean, that's the nature of great taste. It's weird because like, all right, so you look at the Midwest, right? And obviously it's in Wisconsin. So the most breweries are going to be from Wisconsin, 68 breweries from Wisconsin. Then after that, number two, Far and Away, is like Illinois with 38 and Michigan with 20.
Okay.
So the majority of the breweries at this joint, everything else is like, you know, 10, 12 breweries. Majority of these crews are from Wisconsin and Illinois. So I go to a Wisconsin party 200 miles away, and then I see the Illinois crews, and they're all pouring shit that I couldn't get if I walked into that brewery today.
Oh, okay.
So you have this weird dynamic of, well, where the fuck is VSOJ, you know, or where is, you know,
and
Coconut
you,
Vlad, right? Like,
and you know these people because you're talking about beer here, you're drinking beer here, so you want to say hi.
Also that, yeah, you know. Oh, there's the blood. You know, what was the candy one from Goose or whoever? Yeah. So you end up doing a lot of that, but that takes away from the whole point of the fest, which is to kind of explore new breweries.
Okay.
Right. I'll tell you a couple misses that I want. Transient had their Buckley series, and they had a Smuckley, which was like a peanut butter version of that. Mm. So Buckley is their like barrel aged out with like coffee, right? And the Smuckley was like a PB&J version of the coffee barrel aged stout.
Oh, cool.
And I'm like, I want this, you know. So I missed out on that. But I did get to try crews like Funk Factory Gooseria, which is in Madison, you know. And they got some gorgeous sour ales on, man. Like, so I'm not really a fan of, like, I like the new Glarus approach for sours. But, like, you know, Cricket Stave approach or, like, the Upland approach, where it's, like, in-your-face vinegary.
Yeah.
Like mutant level 5 acidity. Like, that's not really my jam. But you get a crew like Funk Factory Gooseria, and it's just like approachable, delicious, fucking sour.
Okay.
So, you know, I was able to get down with stuff like that. A microphone, as soon as I walked in, microphone had like 70 people online. I was like,
oh, nice. Okay. But, and then you said you were messing around with these Minnesota breweries quite a bit.
Yeah, so. I remember one year, man, we drove up to the Prince Museum after Prince died, and then I just kind of hung out for a few days and kind of enjoyed a lot of them. So Indeed, which is out, they actually have a Milwaukee outpost now. They have a Mexican honey lager that I really like, and this year they had a brandy barrel-aged version of that. So that was one that I really dug. There's Dangerous Man up in Minnesota that had, you know, had a Goes that I really dug. Yeah, so it's like, for me, it's like, how do I stay away from Illinois breweries at this thing?
Right.
You know.
Well, yeah, I'll be I'm always up in Minnesota for Labor Day weekend, so I'll be up there again.
Yeah.
At Bent Paddle, love that place. Like,
yeah. There's a crew called Back Pocket in Iowa. Shout out to them because they I really dug their IPA and then their anniversary stout. I also really dug. There's a crew next to Half Acre. Fuck that. I'm drawing a blank on the name of that crew. But. Yeah, man, it's a wild ride, man. I love the party because same old spot, same old date every year, man.
And you got your picture with Jonathan
Cutler. the obligatory Jonathan Cutler from Peace shot. That was fun.
Alarmist was pouring that new LaJuice, right?
Alarmist was pouring LaJuice.
You stop by there, or did you skip it?
I don't know if there's so many breweries that I don't know if I stop by everybody. If you download the app, you can kind of like, check mark all the things you want to try.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, all right, let me try the Koonins. Let me try the, Indeeds. Let me for sure try. I had a handful of out-of-state brews that I really wanted to try.
What was Flossmoor Station doing?
Man. And you know what is funny is that
what were they doing?
Mickey Finns was there too. Mickey,
what?
Mickey Finns from Libertyville was there. And we're like, wait a second, Mickey Finns is right here? Because they're right down from Bob. Back pocket. So, it's overwhelming and you have to have a game plan, and then what you do is you pocket your game plan, and the people you see, you find out what they're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's how I ended up at some of these places.
Okay.
So my only regret, and you know, I saw John Lafler at Paradise Bar after this party, and I saw the microphone guys too next door at Toronado, but I was telling them the only thing I regret is like I didn't go outside my comfort zone enough to actually discover and appreciate new breweries outside the Funk Factory at Gooseria. I just kind of went for breweries that were on my app. And I ended up, you know, you're supposed to walk up, you know, you're supposed to walk up, try something. If it's whack, you dump it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you like it, then you tell people how much you liked it. And I wish I would have done more of that this year. And in the past, I've been more experimental.
But there's... I agree, like, when we talked about this, like, pre-show and stuff, like, yeah, you want to try these stuff, especially at a fest. Like, you're never going to have these beers again. But then there's also a little bit of, I'm never going to have this beer again. What? I don't care about, I don't know, who's 23rd Street in Kansas. I'm not going to, they might make great beer in Lawrence. I'm not going to get their beer.
Yeah.
I'm going to be drinking Peace. I'm going to be drinking Half Acre. I want to drink the beer that's here. I want to support the local brewery. So it's cool to try, but then at the same time, it means nothing, right? It's tough. It's really tough. I don't know. It's like you don't win at a beer festival because there's so much to try. You forget after, you know, your sixth little taster too.
Yeah, maybe that was part of it too. I know, because we went to, like we talked about another show, we went to Friday Night Lights the night before. And I was like, dude, I'm like surprisingly off my ass at this Friday Night Lights thing. So I only have X number of taste in me before I'm like over the top.
Right, for like whatever, just give me that Pilsner. I want to like walk around and not make an ad. I don't want pictures of me passed out, peeing my pants kind of thing. Like,
I like the, I love the little band aspect of this party every year. Every couple hundred feet, there's like a two-man band or a solo guy just like with his little his amplifier just playing music. Mm-hmm. I dig that portion of it too. And
And I've said the one time I went, and I tell people, like, you're going to make it around once. Did you make it around more than once, or did you really only do like a lap?
You only do like one, maybe two real laps. And we were looking to do multiple laps because the first thing we did was, hey, let's get a beer and let's get as close as we can to the lake for like a photo of the beer.
Yeah.
You know, the beer on the lake. Like, that's the only reason we made it that far. Yeah. Yeah. I dug this party because everyone's trying to bring their A game. Like, whatever they think their best beers are, they're trying to bring those beers. And the only reason the timed releases aren't in the app is because they won't let you. The Wisconsin Homebrewers Guild won't let you.
Oh,
put
really?
Put the times of your releases in the. They won't let you do that.
That makes sense.
And they want people to experiment. You know. So like, if like looking back on it, if I could do it again, I would definitely try more of these Wisconsin breweries. Like, for example, Minnesota only brought 12 breweries, right? And I probably had like half of those.
Sure, yeah.
But with 68 breweries in Wisconsin, like, I should have been after some of these, you know, some of these other Wisconsin breweries. Like we brought the One Barrel Brewing coffee. We brought the Black Cat Porter from them. Right. Carbon 4 was a brewery that had a huge footprint, right? Okay. And they had a cat beer, right? But, like, looking back on it, I would have tried some more Wisconsin breweries.
Yeah, you could have had that. Rock Bottom, Wisconsin.
Could have had that Potosi Brewing Company, number 624. Hello. Yeah, or Shipwrecked. Yeah. But, you know, you could, you know, hey, it is what it is. It's a good hang. Third Space in Milwaukee is fantastic, though.
Really. No, I'm just, I'm playing. Like, there are some great breweries in Wisconsin. There's great breweries in all these states. Yeah. It's tough. Yeah. Like, how do you?
Experimentation is a key at a party like this. That, I think that's the overall thing.
Yeah, I think that's the thing we talk about all the time when we go to a brewery. Like, there's two things you want to do. A new brewery, you want to, can they make a good pilsner?
Yes.
And then, what are they doing that someone else isn't doing? Is it that sour black double hopped IPA?
This was a double black IPA. Then the shit got sour. That was a sour black IPA. Shout out to Pulpit Rock and Decora. Yeah, I like their stuff.
Mm. Yeah. Cool. So you're gonna go again, or you now feel like you've run the course of great taste?
You know, I feel like I left some meat on the bone because I didn't take a deeper dive into Wisconsin. Pure Michigan has a few breweries that I like to try. I think Iowa, they got 10 breweries, but. You know, I was repping pretty hard for the 10. You know, like, there's a lot of good options in that 10 for the Iowa.
Yeah, well, you know, Toppling Goliath is, like, the big standout that kind of makes it here.
Yeah.
I feel like this, is it the Exile? They kind of, you hear about them every now and then, too.
Yeah. I like the town of Madison. I like the getaway aspect of it, the end of summer, you know, like more like the height of summer going away and enjoying all these beers and celebrating, you know, every type of beer there is and celebrating the great Midwest. I really dig that part of it. Yeah. You always end up at Paradise Lounge afterwards. And then, you know, it's the state capital. So there's always some good food up there too.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
So.
And then there's still all the parties, too, but I'm sure you got up late on Friday, but Friday is like this pre-party day,
there's
right?
There's a ton of pre-parties, yeah. And this was another event where, like, you know, you show up an hour later and you're kind of going. There's kind of no line. You show up a half hour later.
Yeah.
There's still folks kind of filing in. It's a gigantic party. I think one of the ladies said 168 breweries, I think they cap it at 10,000 people.
Damn. Okay. Yeah.
But when you consider that everyone's really trying to impress each other with what they bring, you know, and, you know, when you consider the backdrop, that's what makes it like a really cool event.
I've made it up once. Wouldn't mind going again, but just hasn't been in the cards.
Yeah. I think exploring more breweries would be my goal next time.
I'm out here driving to Romeoville.
it's exploration, just in a different direction. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Well, does that cover our great taste recap?
I think we did good, man. Cool. I think we did good. 38 Illinois breweries at the Great Taste.
That's pretty good.
I
would love to know how that number has expanded.
I want to do a Great Taste of Illinois, right?
yourself?
Or no, I mean, like no, because like you do it yourself and you're not going to get the things that they're pouring.
Okay. Oh, but, okay. Yeah.
You know, because, you know, like some of these expressions, they're not necessarily Barolais expressions. Mm-hmm. So I guess a great taste of Illinois would be Phobab.
Yeah, but then you got people slipping in here from Boston or
yeah, and it's I forgot about who was that crew? Listerman who scored big at Phobab. That was one of the beers that I had. Their Chacao, the Brandy Barolet Chacao, which was one of my favorite beers
from,
that day.
Are they from Michigan or from Wisconsin?
No, they're from Ohio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Listerman in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hello.
Oh, there's one of the other Ohio breweries that we always forget about.
We forgot about them.
Look at that.
We forgot about them right now.
You know, there's the two, Great Lakes and Hoppin' Frog. Look, there's a handful of other ones happening there.
See, Boston Brewery gets in there because they're in Ohio. Look at BrewDog slipping in from Winchester.
So two are out. Those two don't count.
They happen to brew in Ohio.
And you have Fatheads, which I've been there. Great Lakes, Hoppin' Frog.
Ryan Geist always gets overlooked. A lot of people, to be fair, like we saw the Twisted Hippo guys, man. Shout out to them. I think we're in the same hotel as them. And they were excited about Urban Artifact. And then hanging out in line for another beer, they were also saying, hey, the best beer I've had here was from Urban Artifact in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Nice, okay.
So, yeah. So there's always reason to go back, and it's really for learning.
Right, yeah.
It's really for learning, yeah.
Yeah, you almost need an hour. Like, what? Isn't there like dog shows or something? They have like an hour, or like other shows, you have like or flea market kind of things. You have an hour where you can't do anything, or like swap meets or whatever. You can't do anything, but you can look. You kind of get a lay of the land. Beer Fest should think about that. Like, figure out where you want to be.
Move every year. If you go with the brewery, every year before the gates open, there's like, you know, these big carts that roll around and they do like Bloody Marys. So maybe move that up an hour and then have like a pre-hour
where everybody can walk. You could charge people like a VIP but no drinking hour.
Which, you know, for a party like this with 163 breweries, you know, that's legit. That's a legit concept. Mm-hmm. You know, I would for sure want to get in an hour early because I just want to know where everything's laid out. I want to walk it all. I don't want no surprises, you know.
I think Fest should think about that too, because the waiting line factor for anyone who's paying $75, $100, you miss 30 minutes, you miss an hour.
It helps. It helps get folks in faster because they paid more to get in. So now the rush at General Mission ain't as heavy. And then you know what? Give me a beer. Give me a beer when I walk in for this little look but don't touch session.
Right.
Right? Maybe give me another one.
Damn, look at this. we got to elevate this.
You know? Yeah, but it definitely helps because then the anxiety of knowing the layout ain't as severe. I mean, we could just read the map, but that ain't the same as walking it.
Right,
yeah. It's not the same.
Sure. Cool. All right. Whew. Well, if you want news and if you want more recap, definitely, if you didn't listen to the previous episode, go back and listen to that. But we'll get out of here. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when you're not just drinking carbonation from... Because you got to do a big pour with this beer.
So it's a vintage 2018, Brad.
You got to give it. You can't just. This is.
I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
He's doing that Beer Fest sample. Where, all right, I got to wait as my head dissipates. I'm on Twitter at Brad, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And we'll be back next week with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.